Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, it's our Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us as we begin another week, and we'll be here with you each day this week at 11 a.m. with complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Don't forget, if you can't catch us live at 11 o'clock, there is another way to find us. We're available on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. You can find us there each afternoon after the live show as a podcast to listen to on demand at your convenience. Let's get into our Wednesday show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll cover some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I tell you what, big news yesterday. I don't think it was unexpected news. But big news yesterday that Trace Jackson Davis will be back for year two at Indiana. Also, speaking of TJD, his brother got a football offer from IU on Sunday. So a big day all the way around for the Jackson Davis family. We'll talk some other local headlines as well, including a local football standout who's been on a great rise. All sorts of interest in the offseason for a Floyd Central Highlander who made a commitment over the weekend. We'll talk about that as well and some other things in our headline segment today. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He is with me as we talk IU. We got to talk about Trace back in the fold for sure for year two, some other comings and goings in the Big Ten Conference, and a little bit more about what's going on with recruiting in this coronavirus time for IU. That all comes up in segment two today. And then later in the program today, we'll be joined by Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director. He's a former coach in the area. He's also currently the IHSAA executive board member representing Southern Indiana. And we're going to talk more about The Last Dance. I don't know if you had time to catch it last night, but 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, episode 3 and 4 on ESPN. Great stuff. This is a 10-part series. We're now almost halfway in. 4 of 10 have been shown live on ESPN. You can catch them throughout the week. Lots of replays available on Netflix as well, I think as of noon today, for what you didn't get last night. But great stuff. Kind of takes you back in time to a different world in the NBA and a special time in the 90s, going from the 80s now to the 90s and the Bulls just getting rolling, winning their first championship. That was kind of the focal point last night. A lot about Dennis Rodman, some crazy stuff, as I think we should come to expect with Dennis Rodman off the court, but a really, really good behind-the-scenes footage, never-before-seen footage, and then just great to see all the highlights. I mentioned this last week. It just kind of takes you back in time to another time in basketball when the NBA was sure played a lot differently. It was sure a lot more physical of a basketball game. There's no question about that. But really good stuff once again last night. I said this last week. I'll say it again. I think they could have played all 10 hours or all the remaining hours last night, eight or more, and I would have sat there and watched all eight. And I'm not a TV person. I'm not somebody that binge watches shows or documentaries on a normal basis. But given that we haven't had live sports, this Jordan documentary, if you love the game, if you love Jordan, if you love that time of basketball, it's hard to go wrong with what ESPN has put forth. Really, really good stuff. And it comes at a really, really good time for it as well. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines. And I first need to tell you that the show lineup is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. And with just a purchase of $15 or more, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. That's quite a deal. Again, a $15 purchase, and you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. That's at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's also remind you that you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Love to get your questions and comments. We'll use them for guests. We'll read them on the air. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can like our page. You'll get updates there about how to listen to the podcast and some of the upcoming guests that are going to join us as well. So make sure you connect with us, and you can send us a message on Facebook as well. Okay, now let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news with locations of Zaxby's in Jeff and New Albany as well. Yesterday, Trace Jackson Davis posted a bit of a highlight video, kind of an announcement on his Twitter, about a minute long, that said year two, with fingers crossed and a red and white dot, hashtag unfinished business. That means he's coming back to play for Indiana for at least another year, his sophomore season. And I think most had assumed that that would be the case. He made some comments back during the season, toward the end of the season. He did want to come back, he thought, for another year. No one, I don't think, was on edge that he was going to leave or going to depart early. But you just never know, and it's a crazy time right now, and nothing is guaranteed with this college basketball season. So you just never know exactly what's going on in an athlete's mind today. But Trace is back, and that is a huge boon for Indiana. I think what you'll see now in the offseason is Indiana mentioned in a lot of the preseason polls, whether it's top 20, top 25 team for next year. But he obviously is going to be a front runner in college basketball and maybe even the Big Ten Conference as well, and a big get for Indiana to keep him in the fold for next year. I think lots of reasons to be excited about this Indiana roster for next season. And other than potentially a grad transfer at this late date, it's still a potential. There's still some people out there, not the number or maybe the wide array of people that would have been out there a month or so ago, but with Demezi Anderson leaving last week, entering the portal, and obviously Christian Lander, that could be someone that enters for next year if he's able to officially get things done and reclassify. And by all accounts out there, it sounds like he's making those efforts to do so. But you could add Lander for next year. You could potentially add a grad transfer for next year. But Indiana's roster next season is going to become experienced. It's going to become an all Archie Miller roster for next season, and definitely some interesting things to look at when you think ahead about what Indiana could be. And that kind of will be our story of the offseason. What could this Indiana team be in the conference? Can they be in the top few? Can they be in the top half? I think the answer to the top half is yes. I think the answer to the top few is maybe. We'll have to see. But interesting months ahead in the offseason, a long, long offseason. And boy, I sure hope we're able to get back to college basketball when that time of year gets back here. Also a headline to mention is Taven Jackson. He's a 2022 quarterback, so he will be a junior next season at Center Grove. That is the younger brother of Trace Jackson Davis. He received over the weekend a scholarship offer from Indiana football, and that is Taven Jackson's first Power 5 scholarship offer. So he's got, I think, an offer maybe from Central Michigan. He's got maybe a couple other offers as well, but no Big Ten schools, no Power 5 schools. Obviously, there's a good connection with his family and the IU athletic program. It'll be interesting to see if Taven Jackson could become an early commitment for this Indiana football program, but he gets an IU football offer yesterday. Speaking of college football locally, a player at Floyd Central, he just finished his junior season or his junior year of school coming up here in a few weeks. His name is Zen Mikowski, and he committed to the University of Louisville over the weekend. The most interesting thing about Zen is he was obviously a known player on the Floyd Central team this past season. He was kind of an eye-opening player that you begin to get a glimpse at maybe what he could be in the future. But since the end of the season, his recruiting has absolutely skyrocketed. He had a number of scholarship offers from really good college football programs, but he announced on social media over the weekend that he's going to end that process and commit to the hometown University of Louisville. So when I think about high school football for next year, and of course, number one, with the coronavirus, you hope that the season is able to go on time with fans, but who knows right now exactly what's going to happen. But once you get past that, I tell you, when you think about Clark and Floyd County, we have eight schools that play football in the area. Floyd Central, I think right now, if I had to pick a team and put them at the number one spot of our eight, Floyd Central would be fighting for that top spot. They've got some talent back. They've got lots of experienced players. They've got, obviously, Zen Mikowski, but also some other big noted statistical returners from their roster from last season. So Floyd Central football locally, I think, in a good spot to be one of the headline programs when you start to think about the 2020 football season in the fall. Also, coming up later, our senior spotlight today will be focusing on Jackson Kruer, and Jackson is a baseball standout for Jeffersonville High School. We've been featuring senior athletes each day in the program and telling you a little bit about who they are on the field, off the field. Of course, they're losing so much with this COVID-19 pandemic that we currently find ourselves in, and we'll tell you a lot more about Jackson coming up later in the show today. That's our Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget Zaxby's locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. They remain open, serving those great chicken tenders and their full menu as well. And you can find the drive-thru both at the New Albany and Jeffersonville location. That's a lock on segment one. Don't forget, still ahead, we're going to talk some IU basketball with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk more about Trace Jackson Davis, his return to the program, some other announcements as far as Big Ten players go at other schools that are coming back or maybe leaving. We'll do that and more next. Also, still ahead, Chad Gilbert joins us later in the show as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back in this segment. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with me Mondays as we talk IU basketball and more. And Zach, yesterday, a big day from Trace Jackson Davis and his family. Trace made it official that he is returning to Indiana for his sophomore year. And his younger brother, a junior football player at Center Grove, a quarterback, received his first Power 5 scholarship offer from the football Hoosiers, Coach Allen and his program on yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, neither thing, I think, terribly surprising, each kind of in its own right. I think as it related to – sorry, I'm trying to bandage up a paper cut while we talk here, if you'll forgive me. As it related to Trace Jackson Davis, I think for a while we wondered, you know, would he test the draft? Would he not? The closer we got to the deadline, the more you just sort of felt like he'd probably made up his mind to say no and come back for another year. His brother, obviously, you know, football recruiting, like recruiting in a lot of sports, is kind of all over the map right now because of what's going on. But his brother was always likely to be a primary target for high major programs in the state in his class. And, you know, if he committed to IU, would they ever be on campus together? I don't know, but it wasn't surprising to see his brother pick up that offer either. And it wouldn't be surprising at all to see his brother as kind of a priority for Tom Allen and his staff. And certainly not because he's Trace Jackson Davis's his brother, but because he's a very talented football player. And that staff has of course made recruiting the state a real priority.
Zach, when you look at Trace Jackson Davis as an NBA prospect, and he obviously had a tremendous freshman year, no question about that, but what are some of the areas you think NBA scouts and teams, had he chosen to at least get their advice and at least interact with them, this offseason? What are some things he may have heard, and what are things he may need to work on if the NBA is going to be a more legit possibility after his sophomore year?
I think skills-wise, certainly it's diversifying his offensive game, getting stronger, going to his right. That was one of the things I maybe worried about the most with him coming in this year. I was impressed by how well, not necessarily he could finish with his right hand, but how good his post moves going to the right for a left-hander were. But I think he can continue to get better in that area. Certainly add some kind of face-up game. I don't know that you need him out shooting, you know, 3 3-pointers a game. But just showing a level of, you know, kind of mobility offensively to get away from the basket, keep improving that ability defensively. I thought he made some strides in his versatility defensively this year. Keep improving that. You know, he was frankly probably a better rim protector this year than I thought he'd be. Keep improving that as well. And then I think more, you know, kind of intangibly, if you are the league, you want to see him do a little bit of what Jalen Smith, I think the league wanted out of Jalen Smith this year, which was show the ability to take over games. And that can be such a kind of, you know, cliche thing to say, but you look back at some of his biggest games this season. I wrote his player profile probably about 2 weeks ago now, or his end of season kind of wrap up. You know, his best games were against teams like Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern. You know, he had some good games. He had a good game against Purdue. You know, he had good games against good teams in the Big Ten, but he wasn't quite as consistent against those good teams. And that's where I harken back to the Jalen Smith comparison. And I think they're different players, skills-wise, to be clear. But I think about what Jalen Smith kind of put on tape as a freshman playing behind or around Bruno Fernando. And I think there were a lot of people that said, okay, it's going to be your team next year. You're going to be a year older. We want to see you able to just sort of take over a game as a big man, and as a forward, and you're scoring and you're rebounding and you're defending. I think when you look at what the league is going to lose between, you know, this season and the one that we now sort of turn the page to officially, John Teske will be gone. Xavier Tillman will be gone. I would presume at this point, though I don't know that this is for sure, Kofi Coburn will be gone. Matt Harms is obviously gone. The point is, all of a sudden, Trayce Jackson-Davis kind of joins the sort of upper ranks of Big Ten bigs. I think if you're the NBA, you also just want to see him assert some authority in that group and be the kind of guy that is, you know, consistently a 15-9 player against just about anybody, and then obviously at times has even bigger games than that.
Zach, when I think about IU for next season, and again, this has been an early off season because of no NCAA tournament, and there's plenty of distance between now and when college basketball, let me say this, should get back into a normal form, meaning, you know, school gets back in session, teams get to work out, early season practices, a lot can happen between now and then, and let's hope that when we get to that point, this virus is figured out to a point that college basketball, there's no question marks around that season. But when I think about Indiana for next year, and I get this sense from a lot of people that listen to this show, and a lot of Indiana fans in general, that there's excitement, and I think rightfully so. And Trayce Jackson-Davis, his confirmation yesterday that he's definitely coming back only adds to that, because the last few years Indiana's been projected, when we get to that point, low in the Big Ten, not to be one of the front runners, maybe not even to be in the middle of the pack. I think that will be different this year, just based on early comments from some of the people already talking about the Big Ten Conference and different college basketball rankings. Indiana's going to be a team mentioned, I think, somewhat in the mix. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. I think, I mean, I've said every time anybody's asked that Wisconsin should be the front runner. You know, they'll return almost every meaningful piece from a Big Ten champion. You know, last season they'll have, you know, settled bodies at point, at shooting guard, you know, power forward, and on and on. But then there's always kind of, you know, it's funny. I can't think of too many seasons in the last, let's say, 10 years where we didn't at least think we had an obvious Big Ten front runner going into the season. And of course that front runner didn't necessarily always win the league. But when I think about how preseason polls and things like that shape up, I struggle to remember the last season when I'm putting together my preseason Big Ten rankings, I write, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down, and starting at 1, I don't have a team that I'm confident belongs, that I'm confident just saying, yep, that's where they fit. That's where they go. It feels like we have kind of come to this place where I don't know if it's groupthink. I don't know if it's the development of the college basketball offseason. I don't know what it is, but it feels like we can consistently just kind of find one team that should be a clear favorite. I think that's Wisconsin this year. But then the other thing that we find is basically the way that you start to kind of build your rankings after that, at least the way I do and the way that people I talk to do, is you sort of look for the group of teams that you think it's most likely from which a challenger might emerge. And I think Indiana's probably in that group. Certainly if Christian Lander gets to college, possibly even if he doesn't. Again, when you look around, Michigan State's going to lose a fair bit. Could even lose Aaron Henry, depending upon how, his NBA process goes. Michigan loses two really important seniors. We'll see if Franz Wagner comes back. But then the flip side to that is that they're, what looked like a really impressive incoming recruiting class has maybe lightened up a little bit in the last couple of months. Obviously, Illinois could get hit pretty hard by the draft. Ohio State's got a lot of new faces. I know Chris Holtman says he likes his team, but he does have a lot of new faces. You don't know where Purdue's going to be in its developmental arc. I think Iowa is a team that could be very, very good if Luka Garza comes back. And I don't know that it's necessarily fait accompli that he won't, to be honest with you. But I think that when you're looking for that group behind Wisconsin, I think Indiana fits somewhere in there, maybe top five, maybe top four. And certainly, if nothing else, I think Indiana will carry a level of expectation. I think that's kind of a little bit of, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but a little bit of what I think you're saying there is that maybe for the first time, Indiana carries genuine expectation into a season under Archie Miller. And I think that's fair. I think with, the Romeo Langford season, it was sort of a curious expectation. It was, hey, there's a fair bit of talent here. Romeo Langford could be a transcendent player. He's going to be a lottery pick. You got Juwan Morgan. Let's see what they can do. This will be more of, it's year four. The roster is sturdy. You have the experience. You're bringing back, bona fide leaders in a number of positions. You kept your all-freshman big man, and on and on. Now it's time to start producing. And I think that's a fair level of expectation for Indiana next season.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, is my guest. Zach, I know this is a subject that comes up fairly often, but we're getting later into the, quote, school year, which is now basically e-learning for all of the state and maybe even all or most of the country at this point. Any update? Are you hearing anything on Christian Lander down at Evansville Rights and if he's going to be able to complete this reclassification from his 2021 class currently to the senior class now 2020, which means he would be at Indiana at some point when the campus opens back up this off season this fall?
I mean, my understanding is that it's still very much the plan and it should work. I don't, and this is also where I admit that a lot of this comes from our Evansville paper. Because Gannett's the Evansville Courier and Press is a Gannett paper now. But the understanding I've gotten from those folks is it's always been part of the plan. It's always been in the works. It's, this is not, it's obviously this is an unconventional situation, but that there should be a roadmap through that. To me, I think you could see just as big of an obstacle to when anybody's going to be allowed to come back to the campuses as, when people ask about Christian Lander, I don't always like say this, because I don't want to be overly standoffish, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I can't tell you when they're going to be allowed to bring kids back to campus at IU. So he may have even more time in theory to wrap up whatever he needs to wrap up than he normally would. At this point, you know, I guess if you were to set odds or percentages, it would seem more likely than not to me that he's going to be able to reclassify and come to Indiana. I don't think that's certain, and I'm sure that all this has, you know, kind of been a spanner in the works, but it does seem like there's the confidence level kind of on his end and in his camp has never really waned insofar as being able to make everything line up academically to be able to reclassify and get to campus for whatever the fall semester looks like.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Little football for a moment. We talked about Taven Jackson, the younger brother of Trace Jackson Davis, picking up a football offer from Indiana over the weekend. Also over the weekend, there were some successes with the NFL draft and players with an IU connection as well.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's kind of in a weird spot because you have a couple of really small senior classes here. This was not a very big senior class, and the one that it will you know kind of matriculate through the program this upcoming season is not a very big senior class. I do think that you're going to have, you know, I mean, I would have pegged Simon Stepanek as the most likely player to get drafted. I also think Nick Westbrook has a lot of potential in the NFL because I think he's a player that can make an impact on special teams. And I think he's a player that if he can get in the right system with the right quarterback, there's a couple things that he does very well for a big bodied receiver, kind of receiver the NFL really covets. He has great hands. And, you know, at the end of the day, a quarterback can, you know, help compensate for some physical deficiencies in his receivers by tweaking route combinations or, you know, changing how he delivers the football. But the thing an NFL quarterback can't do is he can't run a route and he can't catch the ball. And that sounds simplistic, but the guys who stick are the ones that quarterbacks realize they can come to rely on doing those two things, running a crisp route, getting open enough, and then catching the ball when it's thrown through a tight window. And I think Nick Westbrook can be very good at those things at the next level with some time. I don't think he's going to pop in and, be a pro bowler in his first 3 years or anything like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he has a solid career in the league, kind of if we zoom out 6, 7, 8 years from now. I think Indiana also has the potential to have a couple kids kind of get some sniffs in the senior class that will play this season, whenever that happens, whatever that looks like. Marcelino Ball is an obvious example, possibly Michael Ziemba. But ultimately, I think that where the NFL, you know, because scouts come around to camps all the time, that, you know, scouts will be at fall camps, they'll work their way through. Of course, they'll come to pro days and things. I think the groups that the scouts will be really looking at are the guys that right now are sophomores and juniors, you know, Tywan Mullen, Brian Fitzgerald, Cam Jones, Micah McFadden, you know, guys like that. I think I'm not saying Indiana's got, you know, 8 first rounders on its roster, but I think that for a program that does not typically make a ton of noise on NFL draft weekend in terms of the guys it sends into the league, I think you could see a slightly more crowded sort of IU field in the draft, maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, because I think that's where you're maybe going to see some real game changers, at least at the college level, start to emerge in the next season or two.
Zach, I want to close with this. Last week, Coach Tom Allen held a Zoom press conference, which seems to be the norm, at least for now, in this new normal of coronavirus, to update his thoughts on college football for next year, and more importantly, to even talk about the team and how they're going to operate in this spring and perhaps summer as well. What stood out to you? We really haven't talked much about that press conference on this program. Any important things you learned from Coach Allen? And generally, he seemed to be, and I know he's a very optimistic guy and optimistic coach, but he seemed to be very hopeful that college football would exist next season.
Yeah, I mean, so for full disclosure, I was furloughed last week, so I wasn't on the call, but I obviously, you know, the highlights still kind of trickled their way down to me at different points. I think, you know, very specifically, it was interesting to hear that Peyton Hendershot is back with the team in a modified way. His legal case is still ongoing from that arrest back in, I think it was February. But, you know, he's at least kind of staying engaged with the program. And it was interesting to kind of hear Alan talk about that, though I would caution against kind of presuming anything in those sorts of cases. I think that's just, it's a boring answer, but those things just have to play out in an arena that ultimately is more serious and, you know, more important, I guess you'd say, than, you know, just specific to sports. I think bigger picture, I mean, listen, when I say this, I think sometimes people roll their eyes. Football has to happen. In some form, it needs to happen in the next academic year. Now, does it need to happen starting on its initial start date and running through? No. Does it need to happen with fans? No. Will it happen with fans? Probably not. But if you lose an entire college football season, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about departments having to cut 25% of their workforce, which could be as many as 100 employees in some cases. You know, that's 100 people out jobs. And we're not talking about, you know, people who were making $500,000 a year before. We're talking about people that are just, you know, day-to-day folks like you and me. I think even beyond that, and this is just genuinely, this is just speculation, but as I think about it more and more, I think you could see the disappearance of whole sports, if not necessarily from the NCAA, certainly, or you know, the FBS or Division I, certainly individual conferences, because I think that, you know, typically if a department cuts sports, it's because that department specifically is having some sort of issue, you know, some sort of financial mismanagement or down, you know, shortfall or whatever. But if there's no football season, everybody's going to hit that. And I think that one of the things you could see, one of the things that make a lot of sense to me, is if the conferences basically just look at it and say, all right, one of the easiest things to do from a scheduling and infrastructure point of view is just for all of us to get rid of the same sports. Because that way we don't wind up in a situation where half the programs keep baseball and half the programs keep soccer. And, you know, we have a 7-team baseball league and an 18 soccer league. You know, I think you could see, like, using the Big Ten as an example, the Big Ten could look at more East Coast, West Coast based sports like water polo and field hockey and just say, you know, we're going to move them off the docket. We're just going to shut them down, and if maybe in 5 years we can revisit them, we'll try to bring them back. But if there's no football season, it's like we really are going to be talking about very drastic decisions like that, and decisions that will affect people's livelihoods, decisions that will affect communities, frankly, and certainly decisions that will affect the academic and athletic opportunities for the student athletes. And those are things that nobody wants. So, you know, it's certainly, I think that the conference commissioners have made it clear that they do not intend to have football until it is safe for all students to return to campus in some form, that they do not believe in the idea of treating athletes as a special case. And I think you understand certainly where that comes from. But I think at the same time, we do have to figure out a way. Well, I shouldn't say we, I'm not in charge, but college athletics is going to have to figure out a way to have a football season and possibly, you know, to kind of further that, a men's basketball season, just because it cannot afford to operate as anything resembling normal without the revenues that those bring in. And if it loses those, you would see, I mean, the cascade effect would be catastrophic across college sports. So I don't know when there'd be a football season, and this is kind of meandered off the Tom Allen call. I apologize, but I would be very surprised if they don't pull out whatever stops they feel they have to try to get one, because the alternative would be very difficult for college athletics to absorb.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Good stuff as always, Zach. Glad you're back and unfurloughed so we can read your great coverage at IndyStar.com once again, and we'll talk with you next Monday.
Thanks for having me, as always. Good to be back.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, and he brings up a great point. Obviously, the big news in college sports, or the next big announcement, I think, will be college football. What's going to happen with it? What's the game plan? What are the potential options? Whatever announcement that conferences and the NCAA make, that's kind of what everybody's thinking about as far as what's next in the college realm. But beyond that, I tell you, in between now and that announcement, and definitely after we figure out what the plan for football is, you're going to see lots of sports eliminated, I believe. You're going to see lots of positions eliminated, lots of salaries minimalized or percentages lost or given back to the university. It's going to be an interesting time, no question about it. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director, former coach, and IHSA executive board member currently representing Southern Indiana. We're going to have some fun. We'll talk a little local stuff, but we're also going to dig into The Last Dance. Did you watch episode 3 and 4 last night on Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, John Paxson? So many great players. The Chicago Bulls from the 90s. Great content, great stuff during this coronavirus shutdown. We'll talk all of that and more. We also have our senior spotlight still to come. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment of the Monday program. Chad Gilbert joins me in just a moment. Also, later in the segment, we close with our senior spotlight. And today we recognize another Jeffersonville baseball standout in Jackson Kruer. Stay with us for that as we close things out here on this Monday show. Chad, I know we want to get into some MJ stuff today, but I do want to start with a local headline. We had a Floyd Central football player, a senior-to-be Zen Mikowski, and I hope I said his last name correctly, commit to the University of Louisville over the weekend. I tell you what, neat to see another local player, this time a football player, get the opportunity to commit to a really good Division I program. And when you think about football next season, A, let's hope it gets played and gets played on time. And B, I think Floyd Central going to be a team right there at the top of the mix as far as Southern Indiana goes.
You know, Matt, it is always exciting. First of all, can you hear me good enough here? I've got these new earbuds in, and I feel really cool. I just want to make sure you hear me.
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Yeah, I feel cool with these things, and everybody has them. The problem is I put on about 50 pounds, and you can't see them because my cheeks are so fat. But you know, you're talking about – I don't know that kid at Floyd Central. But I do know this from following him. I went to his Twitter account. He's put on like 25 pounds of muscle. You know, look, it showed him like a year ago to right now. And it may have been more than that. Whatever it was like, oh, my gosh, this kid has busted his tail in the weight room. So anytime you see a kid like that be rewarded for the effort that he's put in, you know, away from practice, you know, everybody practices hard. When I used to coach, I said, you know, all the great teams, the Ben Davises, the Carmels, the all the way down the line when you think of teams, the North Centrals, they're all doing what we're doing for these 2 hours. What are you doing by yourself when no one else is watching that's going to make you stand out? And that's what that kid's done. You know, he's busted it for 2 hours. Like you said, Floyd Central's in a position to be very, very good in football again next year. But he's taken that, and he's challenged himself off the field to get in the weight room, you know, whether it's during the school day, after practice, before school, whatever. This kid has devoted himself to making himself into a special player. So good luck to him, and hopefully he has a great career at University of Louisville. He has a healthy senior year, gets an opportunity to go his senior year. But more importantly, he keeps that work ethic and drive throughout his whole life.
Chad, I've had, I don't know, three or four people say since last week and over the weekend, when you have Chad on, you've got to ask him if he has any insight from Indianapolis and the IHSA on fall sports, obviously specifically football, a lot of the concern for, from local fans and local people. I think I can answer that, that it's a little too early to ask that or to even talk about that, but clearly there is growing concern when you hear governors. I just read a story over the commercial break from over in Illinois where the governor there has said, we hope to open school back up, high school, you know, middle schools, elementary schools in the fall, but schools should be prepared for some sort of plan or alternative schedule in case we can't. That seems to be the common thought. Everyone is hopeful right now that we can get back to some normalcy in the fall, but no one is for sure. So it's going to be interesting to see how things play out with fall sports and if school gets back in the fall. Or I shouldn't even say in the fall, but in the school getting back in later in the summer.
Matt, to let you in where things are right now in the state of athletics in Indiana, is currently the commissioner and the assistant commissioners are doing Zoom conferences. You know, this time of year, the commissioners travel throughout the state, and they meet with area principals and area athletic directors just to talk about changes to the bylaws and certain things coming down the pipe for them to be aware of. Well, these things this year, of course, have been changed to Zoom meetings. So our district, which is the District 5, the IHSA is in three districts, and the IIIA, which is the Athletic Directors Association, is in five districts. So District 5 meets tomorrow, and so we'll have a better understanding about where things are going from there. But then on next Monday, the Executive Committee and the commissioners will meet, and we will discuss, you know, the principles, means, the input, the changes in bylaws, and some things moving forward. We'll discuss, one, pressing going forward with summer activities, and two, kind of where we're going to be at in the fall or the winter, for that matter. You know, it's kind of like coaching in a sectional final, you know, in the sectional finals, the regional finals, the semi-state finals, the state finals. You've got to have a plan A. You know, you go in there with what you think is going to work. But if you want to win that game, you better have a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. And I think that's where the association is right now. It's kind of a wait and see go. I think the governor's meeting on Friday, May 1st, I think that's going to have a lot of say about where the direction in which we move in. And I think that, you know, moving forward, that all these things, you talked about Illinois shutting down for the summer. I saw where Fisher's High School has just said, hey, there's not going to be anything until July 5th. At Fisher's for the summer, and then it's a reevaluate and wait and see from there. So, you know, where it is, it's kind of a wait and see, and hopefully next week at this time there'll be some direction for athletic directors who can share that direction with their coaches, who can share that direction with their athletes, who can share that direction with their parents, because there's a lot of uncertainty, Matt, and I know that stuff is, it's anxious times, but the uncertainty is part of what makes it so anxious.
Absolutely. Chad, I want to close our segment with a little chat about MJ and The Last Dance last night. There were so many good moments in the two new episodes that came out, one at 9 and one at 10 last night. But I'm going to let you take the reins here. Favorite part of what you saw new last night?
You know, you think about that, and all the stuff, it brings back the memories. There's some guys out there my age watching. There's some guys maybe a little older are listening right now, and it brings you back to where you were when the Bulls were making that run. You know, I can think of who I was with, where I was watching it at, what I was eating. You know, and back in the day, my favorite was Mike's favorite Gatorade, Citrus Cooler. You know, and you think about back in those days, Gatorade was in a glass bottle. And it was something that times have changed. It's really good to go back to those things. But you think about, the thing that stood out with me was just getting over that hump. Everyone has that nemesis, whether it's Jeff in New Albany, Floyd in New Albany, Brownstown, Silver Creek, whatever. You have that nemesis that you got to get over the hump to beat. And to see the Bulls do that with the Pistons, and to see the 30 for 30 on the Pistons, I'm not a Pistons fan, but daggone, they were good. They changed the game. If you remember when Jordan played Bird, the score was like 130, 131. You look at those Pistons-Bulls game, it's like 87 to 84, 89, 81. they made the game in a position, and you got to give Chuck Daly for that, put the game in a position where the Pistons had a chance to win. And that was something that I thought was really cool. One thing I didn't know, and you may remember this, I remember the Pistons walking off the court at that time. But what I didn't know is the Celtics did the same thing to the Pistons 2 years prior to that. And I thought that was pretty cool insight. It's stuff that you forget when you're a kid and just kind of stuff that, you know, it puts things into different perspective now that you're older. But a lot of great insight in that one. You know, I'm anxious to see what they talk about when they get to Tony Kukoc. I thought that, you know, the one thing that Rodman did is, you know, Phil Jackson, and that's the way I coach my team. You know, you do coaching, but you do a lot of convincing. And I thought Phil Jackson could take the temperature of his team. And, you know, he treated everybody fair, but didn't treat everybody the same. I did that a lot when I was coaching. There were some guys you could get on to really push your button. There's some guys you just had to stroke to make sure that they were on the same page with you. And there were some guys that led by example. And I thought Phil Jackson had a great gauge for that. You know, he could see where people were, and he got the best of them. You know, and that's one thing that we talked about in coaching is there, everybody wants to get from point A to point B, and there's a lot of different ways going there. You just got to figure out what's best for your team.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert. Chad, thanks for the chat. Chad, the Charlestown AD, former coach, and, of course, currently an IHSA executive board member. We'll do it next week.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana, and really appreciate these senior spotlights. You know, letting these guys have an opportunity to see it one more time before they go out. I really appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely. And let's use Chad's kind words to transition into today's spotlight as we wrap up the show. Jackson Kruger, Jeffersonville High School baseball. He's had an amazing career there. The Jeff program has been so very good. Three-time Hoosier Hills Conference champion, two-time sectional champion, and I know that he had hoped to add to those perhaps as his senior year, but unfortunately, because of this COVID-19 pandemic, will be unable to do so. Jackson is also very good in the classroom, an AB honor roll student at Jeffersonville, and he's going to have a great college opportunity. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. As far as hobbies, here's an interesting one. You don't hear this all the time, especially from youngsters today, but Jackson Kruger, he enjoys to bowl. He likes to go bowling. Shout-outs to Jeremy Thomas. That was his travel coach for 6 years. And, of course, Coach Derek Ellis, his high school coach for the Red Devils the past four seasons. Jackson Kruger is the son of Misty Kruger, and this great college opportunity will come at Central College. He'll play baseball and major in engineering when his high school career wraps up officially here down the road a few weeks from now. So as we say to all athletes that we've spotlighted so far, Jackson, congratulations. Lots and lots of work has went into your efforts as a Red Devil, and you guys have led that program to some unbelievable success. Congratulations on a great career, and we are so very sorry that you won't get the chance to wear that red and white Jeff uniform your senior year, but this is our small way to recognize you and say thanks for all the work and the accomplishments that you've had in your career. Jackson Kruger of Jeffersonville Baseball, our senior spotlight here on this Monday program. That's going to wrap things up for Monday. We'll be back with you Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with me, as is Mike Pegram of Pegs.com to talk IU basketball and more. Don't forget the podcast on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.